Don't start recording quite yet. Live in Love by Jesus. It's been one of the roughest weeks I've had probably in 10 years. But I'm okay, and God is loving me through it. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse. I've been addicted to work and food and control. I've had issues with pornography and alcohol and rage and panic and depression. A couple weeks ago, we asked to do that. Why did God the Father send Jesus? What was that all about? We talked about in the Old Testament that the first thing we ever see of God is just raw power. Literally just raw, let there be light, boom, there's light power. Let there be a universe, boom, there was a universe. Just power. And then all through the Old Testament, seas parted, pillars of smoke and fire, just big manifestations of God's power all through the Old Testament. So Jesus comes along, and I'm giving you just a little review of that session so we can build on that. So Jesus comes along, and when it was his time, his mama pushed him just a little bit. In the book of John, remember, he says, "Not my time yet, Mom." And she said, "Well, for the sake of the host here, he's run out of wine. You need to help him." For those of us with drinking issues, you don't want to hang around Jesus when he goes to a party. Not a good idea. But anyway, they run out of wine, and Mama pushes him, and so to save the host would have really been, was embarrassed to run out of, that was a terrible thing to do. And so he changed the water to wine. And that was just the beginning of all kinds of things, raised dead people to life and healed blinded eyes and cured leprosy and walked on water and multiplied loaves and fish. And Jesus, when he left the earth, if you stop and think about this, when he left the earth, everybody was not healed. Jesus walked by a lot of blind people who didn't get healed and a lot of deaf people who didn't get healed. But Jesus did just enough when he was here to say, "Yeah, I'm the real deal. When I say I'm my daddy's boy, I'm my daddy's boy. I got the chops. You know, I can create universes. I was there. I did that." You know, so Jesus did just enough. And I'm not saying he didn't care, because so many times in Scripture it says, "And having compassion, he did such and such." So he didn't just do it to flex. He did it because he cared. So let's not forget that part of it. But the other side of it that we don't talk about it much is that he went on record saying, "I'm the real deal. I'm not just another good. I am the Son of God. I can do these things." So I just thought, and we mentioned something at the end of the lesson, and I want to dig into that tonight, but not quite yet. I just want to mention that there's some people who kind of fault Christianity and say, we're just like a lot of other ancient religions. A lot of other ancient religions in their folklore had God coming to earth and breeding with humans and making like demigods and that kind of thing. It's all through ancient mythology. And some people say, well, that was just Christianity's version of the same story. For one, there's historical data that says there was a Jesus. Josephus, you know, he's a secular historian who wrote about Jesus. And the things that Jesus did were so preposterous, if you wanted to create a believable story, you wouldn't have done those things. You know? And you had so many hundreds and thousands of people who saw it happen. And when they were told, "You either renege on your story, or we'll kill you, or feed you to the lions, or hang you on a cross," you know, and they said, "No, I saw it. I'm not going to renege on it." You can have a few people who will die for a lie, but you won't have that many people who die for a lie. So there's just that argument. I remember hearing it years ago, and I thought, it makes me think, but there's just too much evidence that Jesus was real and he was who he said he was. But then you have to ask, I'll say, so why did God do that? And one of the things that I've wondered is that possibly God said, "Well, I know because I created them, I know all about humans. I know all about their emotions, their physiology, their biology. I know all about their stature, everything about them. But it's all secondhand knowledge. It's knowledge of a creator, but not a knowledge of a fellow. Yeah, I don't know that. And some people have trouble with that. So you're saying God is stupid. You're saying God lacks knowledge. God, there's a hole in God's wisdom. And I think, well, how can you experientially know something if you've never experienced it? I'm sure God could pull that off. But some have said, well, maybe God came and was human so he could experience it and know it that way. Others have said, well, Jesus was God's last-ditch effort to salvage something out of this human experiment. Let's salvage something out of this. So we'll send my son and do that. I don't know where you land on that. I mean, when you start asking why of God, a lot of times he goes mute. You know, have you ever asked him why do bad things happen to good people? If you haven't asked that question, you haven't been around for a while. You know, anybody who's lived any length of time has asked God that question. Have you ever gotten a real good, clear-cut answer on that one? And you read all of Scripture, and there's no clear-cut answer on it. There's some fuzzy suggestions that you could kind of, you know, there's no clear-cut answer. So when you ask, okay, God, what was the driving motive behind this Jesus thing? Why did you do it? And I know a lot of us are sitting here saying, well, it says pretty plain, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. Well, I understand that, but let's unpack that just a little bit. Let's unpack that. So Jesus shows up. He does enough things for us to know he's the real deal. He has all of the power of the Father. He has all the love of the Father. And he has all the wisdom of the Father. But the way we closed off that lesson a couple weeks ago is we said, given all this stuff, he didn't use that power to control us or micromanage humanity. He didn't use the power to control. He used the power to connect with us. It's not about control. It's about gold. And he begins his ministry, and you see some of the stuff he can do, and you look out in the marketplace, and it's lined with Roman soldiers and Roman tax collectors, and you know you are occupied by this evil, dark, overpowering empire, and you say, aha, we've got a guy who can change water to wine, walk on water, multiply bread and fish, raise the dead back to life, and you've got these Romans. He needs to do something with that power he's got. He's got all this power. He needs to go over there and turn them into a bunch of toads, you know? He needs to go to Rome itself and go to Caesar and show him who's boss, you know? Even at the end of the story, he's faced with Herod and Pilate, and both came out unscathed. Neither one were turned into a toad, you know? So given all this power, you would think that Jesus would have used it to do something that would have really helped his people who lacked power. They were a powerless bunch. We got a Messiah. He's got power. Let's have it, you know? But he didn't do that. Instead, he chose to connect. And so that's where we kind of left off the lesson last time. And that's where I want to kind of dig into it tonight. We've got plenty of time. So how did he connect? He chose not to control. How did he connect? Because this really is where we live today. This comes down to pathway. This comes down to this little bunch that's sitting here tonight in this room. It's interesting that when Jesus came and he reached his full stature, he's ready to begin his ministry, he didn't go to Wall Street. He didn't go to the Vatican. He didn't go to Harvard or Yale. Think about that. He didn't go to Hollywood. He didn't go to the NBA. Think about the things we treasure. What do you click on when you go to Yahoo? What do you click on when you go to Google? What are the things that we, in our culture, say are of value and say have a measure of stature? Those would be the places that a reasonable God would want to connect, really. You know, it would make sense. He'd get more exposure that way. You know, it'd be good for him to hobnob with famous people. Well, if they're hanging out with him, then I want to hang out with him. That's the way we think, isn't it? You know, we write a book and we want famous people to sign on the book. We want endorsements by so-and-so and so-and-so. We make a movie and we want certain famous people to make cameo appearances in the movie, you know. This is the way we think. And so when Jesus came to connect with us, he did not go to the places we would expect him to go. He did not go to the rich and famous. He did not go to the people who were the power brokers of his day, who called the shots, to the puppet masters who made society work the way they wanted it to. Most of us would look at that and say, no, he didn't. And we don't have any problem with that. No, that's just not Jesus. That's not his shtick. That's not what he would do. Well, but then why didn't he build some kind of social network? I mean, you know, why didn't he go around and if he's going to do this church thing right, because remember he said he was going to build his church on Peter, and he was going to, when he left, he was going to leave his church. So why didn't he do that the right way? Why didn't he elect like a president and a vice president and a treasurer and a secretary and all, you know? Why didn't he get a board of directors and a, you know, why didn't he build some sort of really good organization that was connected with people in the town over there and connected with the nation over there? Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he connect that way? Because if we wanted to be successful with a church, right, we would want to connect with certain people. Jesus didn't do that. He picked 12 guys who were basically losers. I mean, at the very end, he starts with 12, and he couldn't keep even all 12. It's down to 11, and in that bunch, you've got a denier, you've got a doubter, you've got a bunch of squabblers, you've got a bunch of guys this way, you need to elect a treasurer, president, whatever. He didn't do that. It's interesting to me that his connections in terms of, now that's just all talk about starting the church and kind of the general idea of exposure, you know, gaining exposure. You know, this is who I am. That was his approach. He didn't go to any power people. He didn't overorganize, and he picked very common people to train to begin his church. It was going to be his representative. That's us. That's us. He spent most of his time doing this. This is where I want to end tonight. He spent almost all of his time concentrating on the less than, the disconnected people in his community. You think about what famous people do now. You know what, everybody knows what a photo op is. Is that what they still call them? Photo ops? They're always changing the terminology. But everybody knows what a photo op is. You know, if you're somebody famous or influential or somebody of power, if you pick up a baby or you stoop to help a beggar or you go to visit a grammar school classroom or something, make sure those shutters are going. Click, 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 click. Because if I'm going to stoop down to the least of these, I want some credit for it. I want somebody to notice what I've done. And in Jesus' case, he purposefully associated with the less than in a way that never furthered his career. It never made him more famous. It never made the headlines of the newspaper. He went out of his way to inconvenience himself. If you think about the little kids that they brought to Jesus, and he must have been in the middle of something. I don't know what, but he might have been in the middle of a lesson or some. And so he's in the middle of something, and they brought these kids, and all his disciples are saying, get them out of here. You've just stopped his flow. He was just getting into it, you know. It's one of those Jesus moments where we're listening to his teachings and we're getting into it, and now he's hugging babies and wiping snot off of them, and, you know. What's the deal here? So they said, get them away. And he said, you don't even get it. You don't even understand. This is what the kingdom's about. This is who I came to connect with. This is how I came to connect. to people who couldn't do anything to further my career or put an extra feather in my cap or an extra dollar in my bank account. That's why I'm here, for the least of these. The people that I never understood the least of these, and the reason I never understood them is because all I ever did was read about them in books. You know, I never knew any. Well, I knew some kids, but I mean, I never knew people who were less fortunate. I never knew people who were homeless. I never knew people who were sex trafficked. I never knew people who were really abused or in poverty or whatever. I never knew that. And in the last 5 or 10 years, all of a sudden, I have a lot of friends who were that way. Some of my good friends, Ricky and Ace and Joseph, and they don't have a place to sleep. They don't have a home. I've got other people who've told me their stories about being trafficked from age 3. Parents, full approval. Grandparents, full approval. And they've poured out their story to me, and they've told me what kind of life they've lived, a little bit of what it's like to be one of the least of these. You can't know it by reading again books. You can't know it by what I'm saying right now. The only way you can know it is to get to know these people. And let me tell you something about these people. These are the most human humans I've ever met. They are the most authentic, rich, true, profoundly creative, profoundly joyful, profoundly hopeful human beings I have ever known. I thought I was going to go help them. Instead, I sit at their feet and learn what it means to be an authentic, real human being. And so I asked myself, so why is it that Jesus came to hang out with these people? Why did he concentrate on these people? Why did he seem to specialize with these people? And now this is my theory, okay? I'm not saying it's true. This is just my theory, which is a very dangerous place to hang out, in my theory. Very dangerous. My idea is that Jesus found he could be the most intimately connected with humans at their most authentic and vulnerable point. When I am at my most vulnerable point, in my most authentic, real place, that is when my best connection happens with Jesus. That's where God and man can come together and have communion like no other communion. And if you think back about your life, you think about the lowest moments you've ever had, the most harsh times you've ever had, the darkest times you've ever had, when you cried out to Jesus, isn't that some of the best connection you've ever had with the divine? In your most honest moments. I mean, when you're real, real, real. All pretense is gone. You're like, and don't go bad with this. You're back in the garden. You're naked, stark naked, and unashamed before God. That's when the best connection happens. That's when the richest, deepest, most transformative humans who embrace their humanity. Now, God doesn't reject anybody. God doesn't turn away from anybody. God wants to connect with everybody 24/7, but his hands are tied. His way is blocked with all this plastic and Velcro and shielding, you know, that we hide behind. But let that go away. And desperation has a way of tearing that stuff away. Let that go away. And God says, this is what I'm talking about. This is back at what we had in the garden. This is all I long for my humans, is to be this close and this intimate with humanity. So we have something here. We have something here at Pathway, that this is a place where you come, and not only will you be tolerated in your authenticity, you will be celebrated in your authenticity. Authenticity is encouraged here. Authenticity really is one of our two core values: be real and be love. That's it. That's as complicated as it gets. So when you come here and you take off your pretenses and you take off all the other protective stuff that you tend to wear, you take that off and you get real. That's why we have the connection we do with God. That's why we see the miracles happen that happen. That's why we see the breakthroughs that happen in our small groups during the week. That's why we see them happen. It's because this connection is made possible. When we become, we're really all the least of these. You know? You know it? We're really all the least of these. It's just we dress it up with fancy stuff and call it something else. God says, okay, now we can talk. He didn't use his power to control. He used his power to connect. And when he connected with the least of these. And my theory is he connected with them because they provided the best hookup, the best connection, because all the other extra stuff was gone. You know, even super glue, even the best glue ever made, and maybe it's not the best anymore. Is Gorilla Glue better? I don't know. But the best glue you can use still says on the instruction, for best results, clean off the surface before you do this. Yeah. And we want this connection with God, and the connection keeps slipping because we just got all kinds of stuff Velcroed on the outside. You know, the old church used to say, you got so much sin on you. Oh, you know, they'd spit hellfire and damnation. I don't think it's sin. I think it's shielding. I think it's armor. I think it's Velcro. All put fig leaves. You know, go back to the beginning. Fig leaves. We've covered ourselves with fig leaves so God can't see us. And God says, I want to see you for who you are. Clean off that stuff. Get this connection going. That's all I got. We're going to have some offering. We're going to do one more song.